Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
What you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
What you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
In Pensacola, I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew McKay right here on Pensacola Morning News. Andrew's going to be out this week, so I'll be filling in for him, trying to keep you updated on what's going on here in the Pensacola area, what's going on in Florida, what's going on nationally, and of course some frivolous things to talk about as well. Let's get started here. 81 degrees here in the Pensacola area. Excessive heat warning as we'll get up to about mid to low 90s today. And then today is a dry day compared to what we've been having. Tomorrow, get back into thunderstorms again. So today is the day that Governor Ron DeSantis turns into a pumpkin. Yeah, so today is the day that the deadline for him to sign. I guess maybe he doesn't turn into a pumpkin, but I guess some of the bills that he could sign. Today's the deadline for him to sign things about the Florida's budget. And if he doesn't, things get interesting for his power as governor. A shift. The budget signature deadline is today. After midnight, Governor DeSantis loses his line item veto power on spending. The veto power is basically governor's ability to kill specific budget items, just specific things, without killing the whole budget. It's a huge leverage he has. The longer he waits to sign, the more pressure he faces from lawmakers and special interest groups who want certain things in or out of it. This plays bigger questions to Governor DeSantis' political capital heading into 2026. Is he weakened or is he just being strategic? So he's got to either sign. I mean, basically, today's the day where like you just sign the budget. Like you've had up until today to line item veto anything you wanted to. For example, he has vetoed two bills that sounded pretty reasonable on the surface and be interesting to see what's going on. One of them would have had inmates learning to drive trucks. The other would have created a board for a naturopathic medicine practitioners. So like a regulatory board. He vetoed both of them. So the inmate trucking program that's supposed to give prisoners a job, give them job training, reduce staffing burdens on prisons. Governor DeSantis is worried about liability and public safety risks. I'm thinking, I don't know. One of the big problems we have with recidivism is the lack of job skills when somebody gets out of prison. I remember a few years ago, there was a program. I'm trying to remember if Florida was part of this. I think it was actually in New York State, where they were teaching inmates barber skills, teach them how to be barbers. And when they got out, they would basically be ready to work as a licensed barber, depending on how long they were in prison. But basically, when they got out, they were going to be able to be licensed as a barber. But then they found out when they got out that the state had a law against felons being able to hold barber's licenses. So the state was spending all this money teaching these prisoners a skill that they could use when they got out of prison. And then the only way they could really use that skill is if they practiced illegally. And so, anyway, that's just, I remember when that happened, it was just a jaw drop moment, you know, because I was, one aspect I was thinking, hey, this is a really good thing that they're doing. And then the other aspect, I was like, they didn't check with their own state. Like, the lawmakers are the ones that made this, you know, pass this bill, says, hey, let's teach them how to have barber skills. And then they never checked with their own laws to find out that, oh, well, we could teach them that, they'll never be able to practice legally. And I guess this is the, this is a little different step here, where Governor DeSantis is like, hey, we're going to teach them how to be truck drivers. And Governor DeSantis is like, well, I don't even want to go down that road. He just vetoed it. The Naturopathic Medicine Board. It would have regulated alternative medicine practitioners. Governor's veto says it creates unnecessary state oversight and regulatory burden. Now, that actually coincides more with the way the governor has been pretty much his entire two terms, which is he's been about reducing state government regulation and frankly, reducing local government regulation. A lot of the things that have been controversial throughout his tenure as governor has been when a local government tries to implement some sort of regulatory restrictions on citizens, on individuals or businesses, and the governor has come in and the state has come in and basically said, you can't do that. An example was there's been more than one community that has tried to implement sunscreen bans, and they wanted a sunscreen ban because they felt like the sunscreen was polluting the water and some things like that. And the state came in and says, no, you can't do that. You cannot ban people from wearing sunscreen at the beach, or particular types of sunscreen, I guess what it came down to. And so those are just a couple of examples of where the state came in and says no regulation. So the Naturopathic Medicine Board, that lines up with the way he's been. Both bills had bipartisan support in the legislature, so they're not really fringe ideas. I imagine the prison workforce, the truck driving thing, that'll probably come up again. It'll just be the next governor's thing to deal with. Prison workforce programs are common nationwide. What specific concerns made Florida's version different when it came to truck driving? Liability. What did he say? Liability and public safety risks. Liability and public safety risks. I don't know. I think I'd rather have I would rather teach them skills. Now, my concern is bigger than that, which is truck driving is one of those areas where we have a massive worker shortage right now. But at the same time, we now have the technology for automated driving vehicles. And I know what you're thinking. I want some big old semi cruising down the road that's just being run by, I don't know, AI and some sort of robot thing or whatever. But the studies have shown over and over and over again that they're safer. They don't fall asleep at the wheel. They don't get distracted by the radio or the movie that they're watching on their phone while they're driving down the road. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen. That doesn't happen to every truck driver, but it can happen. And the studies have shown that these automated driving vehicles are actually pretty darn safe. And when it comes down to it, I have two people I know who are in the trucking industry, like in the management level. I know actually probably know a dozen drivers. Friends of mine who actually drive trucks, who have CDLs and stuff, but those that are in the management space have told me they see a massive need for automated driving vehicles, and they see it definitely coming. And we already have it. Like, there's pilot programs around the country. Florida is one of them that has allowed a pilot program. So my concern with the truck driver program being approved for inmates isn't necessarily that, like, oh, liability and personal safety concerns. My concern is, like, that job's not going to exist very soon. So you're lining them up for a job that AI is going to take, or robots are going to take, something like that. I had another bill I was going to talk about that Governor DeSantis has signed a bill pertaining to affordable housing. Also, as it pertains to prisons and prisoners, do you see what Mondami had to say? The governor of, the mayor of New York. So apparently he had an interview and was asked, was basically asked as it pertains to prisons. And his response, the question came up to him, why do we need prisons? And his response, let me pull it up right here. I got it right there. So, So Mondami's response to why do we need prisons? He basically said, what purpose do they serve? What purpose are they serve? They aren't working. Here's why. So he argues that prisons don't rehabilitate or deter crime the way they were told we should. Mass incarceration hasn't made us safer. Violent crime rates tell a different story, though. But he goes on and says, who actually benefits from the current prison system? In his mind, private systems, guard unions, and contractors. What a system designed to protect actual communities would look like, doesn't know. But prisons isn't it. And what purpose do prisons serve? That basically is like, do you think we need prisons? And his response immediately was, what purpose do they serve? Shoot, I almost like to put that up to you. What purpose do they serve? So 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. When we come back, we're going to get an update from Dave Wayne over in the newsroom. And I do want to cover that story from Governor DeSantis. One of the bills that he signed that's supposed to deal with affordable housing. So we could talk about that all coming up next right here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew McKay right here on Pensacola Morning News.
Please be advised, you may want to stop eating the following foods immediately. Broccoli, kale, bean sprouts, blueberries, quinoa, spinach.
Wait, what? I thought those were good for me.
Turns out, not for everyone. Because what's healthy for one person can cause inflammation for another. And the only way to really know what your body needs is to listen to it.
Listen how?
That's where Viome comes in. Viome is a simple at-home gut health test that looks at your body's real-time biology using RNA to understand what's happening inside you right now. When your results come in, you'll learn exactly which foods to eat, which to avoid, and which supplements are right for you. All based on the world's largest RNA-based human biology database and thousands of clinical research studies. And many people who use Viome report more energy, better digestion, and a better mood within months. So stop guessing. Start knowing. Learn more at Viome.com/gut. V as in Victor, Viome.com/GUT. And use coupon code GUTHEALTH50 to save $50 off your purchase. Viome. Trust your gut.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu to learn more.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Tune in Wednesday at 10 a.m. as Ray Palmer with Pensacola Sports will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Pensacola Sports Focus has, and always will be, on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. Don't miss Ray Palmer with Pensacola Sports, Wednesday at 10 a.m. on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
Last night, a little angel came pumping on the floor. She said, come, baby, got a license for love. And if it expires, pray help from above. Because in the midnight hour, she cried, love, love, love. With a rebel yell, she cried, love, love, love. Wow. In the midnight hour, babe.
Ah, yes, good morning. Got to love a little Billy Idol first thing in the morning. Nice. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew McKay right here on Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. PJ filling in, we'll say filling in for John Pickens. I think I almost spoiled something, so we'll just leave it alone. Filling in right now. So you got two scrubs filling in for you right there. So we'll do our best to keep us on the air. Let's go over to David Wayne in the newsroom. At least we've got David here to keep things under control.
If you're depending on me to keep things under control, we're all in trouble. I'm telling you that right now. Well, House Speaker Mike Johnson, Bobby, says he will send the bipartisan housing bill to President Trump today. In a post on Truth Social, the president said he won't sign the bill until the Save America Act is passed. The voting bill, of course, would require ID in order to vote. O.J. Simpson is being dropped from the Bills Wall of Fame at the new Highmark Stadium in New York. Buffalo Bills CEO Pete Guelli says that Simpson is just not a fit for the Bills family and for what the new stadium represents. Simpson spent 9 seasons with Buffalo, of course, died in cancer 2024. And, I'm debating reading this story or not because it just doesn't make me feel good, but there's been an alligator attack here in Florida, in Central Florida, not in our area. But a woman has died after she was swimming with friends in a river. She was bit and later died at the hospital. And that gator has not yet been found. And that comes just one day after another gator attack where a child was bit on the hand at a resort in Central Florida. And in that incident, the gator was caught and killed.
Oh, geez. Well, first of all, when you first started saying, you know, gator attack, I thought you did mean here.
Yeah, so no, not here. I was like, not here.
Whoa, that would be intense if that was the case. So, but not here. Okay. Well, that's good to know, but that's still sad to hear that kind of thing. And it seems like the gators, you know, there for a while, they were like getting near extinct and everything. And then they had a program where you could only kill a certain amount. You had to go get a special license and everything. I think it's still that way, actually. But it feels like now, because we've kind of let them go, there's gotten to be a lot more of them in Central and South Florida, and they're getting bigger now because you know what I mean? At least that's the reports I keep hearing from people who live down that way, is there's a lot more of them. They're all over the place now, and they're bigger. And so, of course, when they get bigger, that means now all of a sudden we become more food than what we were before.
You know, so I've never come across one just in the wild here, but a lot of people I know say they see them all the time, and they are getting, you know, they seem pretty massive when they do see them. So I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen one. I think I've only seen one my entire time of living here. That's like out in the wild. Like I can see them at, you know, a zoo or, a, you know, something like this. But once again, same, yeah, out in the wild. And it was like, was it 4 years ago? I think it was 4 years ago as the first one I ever saw. I was like freaking out. And it was a small one. It was like a little baby one in a creek. And I was like, no way. I was like, finally I've seen one. It's crazy.
I think about it every time I'm kayaking in the Coldwater Creek or in the Blackwater or something like that. I'll think about it. I'm like, I know they're here. I can't see them. I know they're here.
Yep. Yep, exactly. All right, it's Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew right here on News Radio 92.3. I did want to share real quick one story about the governor signing a bill. Florida's been tinkering with its housing fix. Governor DeSantis just signed off on a version, on version 3 of the Live Local Act. They keep having him having to revise it, which means they're still trying to kind of tweak the affordable housing code for the state. We're not the only state dealing with this, by the way. I've talked to people in other states all over, like Illinois, North Carolina, Utah, Colorado, Idaho, Ohio. Like, family and friends I have living all over the country are, that's everybody's complaint. Housing's not affordable anymore. Anyway, Live Local Act originally passed in 2023. This is the third revision in just 2 years. That's Cool Morning News. Dana McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andy right here on News Radio 923. Informative, local, dependable.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The ceasefire on the road to a peace deal is back on following strikes from Iran and the U.S. over the weekend.
U.S. officials say technical talks between the two countries will move forward as planned. The goal here for the Trump administration in the short term remains keeping the Strait of Hormuz open and safe. But this week, those more detailed discussions on Iran's nuclear program will proceed.
That's Fox's Trey Inks in Tel Aviv. Iran's deputy foreign minister says technical working group meetings are not scheduled for this week. That from Iranian media. Waiting in the U.S. Supreme Court, expected to issue rulings in several cases before the end of its current term.
Among the high-profile opinions, a ruling on President Trump's executive order to eliminate birthright citizenship.
Fox's Jared Halpern in Washington, nearing 1,500 dead from the twin powerful earthquakes in Venezuela. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.375. Partly cloudy right now. We're going to get a look at our forecast. Marion Caldwell has that for us in just a few minutes. Well, it looks like the city of Pensacola is starting to run out of patience with the New York real estate company that owns a long-abandoned medical center on North Palafox Street. That building is now back in violation after plywood that was securing the windows and doors was apparently removed again, allowing people inside. Code enforcement has now reinstated a $100 per day fine. City officials say that the city is exploring every legal option they have, including potentially declaring that property a nuisance. The city tried to purchase the property for $1.3 million last year, but the owners backed out of the deal. Now, a person shot at the Budget Inn on West Cervantes last night has died. PPD reported that shooting just after 10 p.m., and investigators said one person was shot, another was in custody. So far, we have no word on the suspect's identity or a possible motive for that shooting. A child was airlifted to the hospital over the weekend following a drowning incident at a home in Pensacola. Escambia County first responders were called to the residence on Oaks Bay Drive near Merlin Road at about 2:40 p.m. and called for life flight. No other details on that incident have been released, including the child's age or condition. Escambia officials say a woman is facing a DUI charge after she intentionally rammed her car into multiple vehicles and hit a person in the Walmart parking lot on Mobile Highway. That happened on Saturday afternoon. Several people were hurt, including at least one person that was actually struck by the vehicle. Deputies say the woman refused to exit her vehicle and had to be forcibly removed. She was reportedly highly intoxicated. The Florida Highway Patrol is handling the crash investigation, and so far that woman's name has not been released. New report on the now-closed Alligator Alcatraz Immigration Detention Center in the Everglades puts the price tag at nearly $3.5 million per day, making it likely the most expensive immigration detention facility in U.S. history. CBS News Miami says the cost was driven largely by a lack of infrastructure, requiring generators fueled by diesel to be trucked in daily. Governor DeSantis defended the facility. He said he expects the federal government to reimburse the state. Now, Florida Senator Rick Scott is backing President Trump's handling of Iran. On Fox News, Scott said Trump is doing the right thing by making sure Iran never obtains a nuclear weapon, even if it's a frustrating process. The pool at the Roger Scott Athletic Complex will be opening for the summer this next weekend on the 4th of July. The pool will open from 9 a.m. to noon and 12:30 to 3:30 p.m. on Independence Day. And regular hours begin then July 5th with open swim available weekdays, Saturdays, and Sundays through September 7th. Daily admission is $5 for adults, $4 for kids, free for kids 2 and under. The city's invested more than $840,000 in pool improvements this year, including a refurbished water slide and a resurfaced baby pool. 535 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our forecast with Marion Caldwell from Channel 3.
Monday with lows in the 80s as you start to head out the door first thing. Going into the afternoon, climbing into the low 90s, but heat index values will be as high as 106. Skies will be mostly sunny with little to no chance for any rain going into tonight, staying warm in the 80s under mostly clear skies. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell, your WEAR First Warning Weather.
We've got 75 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes, we've got breaking news. Anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of Baidu have surged more than 7% this morning on reports that its artificial intelligence chip unit, Conluxin, is targeting an initial public offering in Hong Kong, which would value its affiliate at $50 billion. Conluxin is independently operated and has broadened its scope to external sales over the past 2 years. Shares of Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix fell this morning after South Korea unveiled sweeping artificial intelligence and semiconductor mega projects. The chip giants will build two new semiconductor fabrication plants in the country's southwest as part of the nearly $518 billion project. Samsung Electronics stock was down 4.8%, while SK Hynix dropped 1.6%. Chinese memory chipmaker Changshin Memory Technologies has signed a long-term supply agreement with Tencent Holdings worth nearly $3 billion ahead of its blockbuster stock market debut. Reuters reports the deal spans up to 3 years. Futures are up this morning. That's Your Money Now.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensure our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Walk like an Egyptian. 81 degrees here in the Pensacola area. Going to be a high of about 92 today. And we get a little bit of a break from the showers. But then tomorrow, we pick it right back up and get into the bad weather. Excessive heat today, though. We still have an excessive heat warning tomorrow. We're getting back into thunderstorms. And it should be somewhat dry the rest of the week until the weekend. So, yeah, in fact, I saw this. Where'd it go from National Weather Service? We're in an extreme heat watch today. And so use water wisely. Keep yourself cool. Stay safe. And then, of course, if you can have cool, there's like cooling centers. If your place does not have a way to have AC or something like that, be sure to check on your loved ones and neighbors who may not be as, resistant to the heat. Best way to put it. Yeah, so extreme heat. I saw, like, my brother lives in New York City. They're going to have middle of the week, they're going to have 101, 102 degrees in New York City. When you take all that concrete and everything like that, that's more miserable than when we have our vicious heat. I have a friend of mine is in Vegas this week. Actually, Brent Lane from Cat Country 98.7, he's in Vegas this week. And and I was telling him, he's getting out just in time. He gets back later this week. And next, I think it's Saturday or Sunday, it's supposed to be 107 in Vegas. So we're just dealing with extreme heat all over the place. Oh, and then you've got wildfires out west because of the heat and the dryness. So it's, it's not nice. So we're not the only ones dealing with the extreme heat. It's Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi filling in for Andrew. If you'd like to weigh in, you can give us a call or text 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. Today in history, on this day in 1971, let me click on this. Prior to the re-entry following a record-setting stay aboard the Soviet Union's Salyut 1 space station, the crew capsule of the Soyuz 11 spacecraft depressurized, killing the three astronauts on board. That happened today in 1971. 1974 was when Mikhail Baryshnikov defected from the Soviet Union to Canada while on tour with the ballet. That was before my time, but I still remember hearing about that story. 1987, Vincent van Gogh's painting, the La Pointe de Trinquetal, is bought for $20.4 million at an auction in London, England. It was one of the most expensive paintings ever. The guy who, let's see here, I was going to say who bought it. No, never mind. All right. And then, this is a big one here. 2007. Today is the day that Apple Inc. released its very first mobile phone, the iPhone. That's right. Today was the day that the world began to change forever. The iPhone came out today in history, 2007. So that's hard for me to believe. I remember at one point I remember thinking that iPhones were at one point I was like, man, I can't believe it was only this, this time ago. Now we're coming up to next year, it'll be 20 years old. That's pretty wild. I was one of those that was very resistant to jump on board with the iPhone. I was a Palm user. I loved my Palm. I had my keyboard at the bottom, and I could crank out messages. I could type like 60 words a minute on my phone, much less, I was able to speed up my processes. It wasn't as fast as I was able to, actually type, but still, on a phone, that was pretty impressive. I'd write out full-on emails and stuff. It was crazy. And I remember when the iPhone came out, I was like, this is dumb. You don't have any buttons for your keyboard. This isn't going to last. Nobody can do that. Here we are, almost 20 years later, 19 years later today, and just about everybody has a version of what they've created, whether it is an actual iPhone or whether it's a Google version or an Android version or whatever. So kind of crazy. Florida gas prices have declined 20 cents last week on average, according to AAA. Well, that's good news. So There's, yeah, the average Florida gas prices fell 20 cents in 1 week. That's awesome. So hopefully it keeps on going down, because that's one thing that's been, I mean, we knew we were going to have some pain at the pump with the war with Iran and everything like this. It's been getting a little bit tight, overall. Is it a temporary dip? Is it the start of a trend? I hope it's the start of a trend, but I don't think so. I think this is a temporary dip. So that's one of the things. Oh, the national average. That's what I meant to pull up. So here, let's see what the national average gas price is. $3.86. $3.86 is what it is. And then Florida's average gas price, which, of course, we're skewed a little bit because we have, you know, South Florida and Central Florida and stuff like that. But Florida's gas prices are actually cheaper at $3.79, so almost 10 cents or 4 cents a gallon cheaper than the national average. Hey, at least we're not like California or something, right? I mean, it's like, no. So we're actually below the national average. Our neighboring states, like Alabama, even cheaper, $3.45. Georgia, $3.56. So we're like close to like the national average, essentially. But then you got places like, you know, California, $5.45 a gallon in California. That's ridiculous. Washington State, $5.15 a gallon. Illinois, $4.12 a gallon. New York City, $4.11 a gallon. It's just ridiculous. All right. Speaking of gas and everything like this, well, driving, a new study shows that Florida is second in the nation among states with increased road rage incidences. Mm-hmm. So apparently we're getting worse. More people losing it behind the wheel, getting into accidents because somebody cut them off or didn't use a turn signal, something like that. In fact, this is kind of scary. Florida ranks second nationally for increases in fatal road rage incidents. Holy moly. The top state, Colorado, they had 130 road rage wrecks last year. But apparently in both, well, like around the country, apparently fatal road rage encounters are climbing. Sheesh. I wonder why. Like, why is it just is that just a reflection more of our society in general, how we're just getting to be less impatient with one another? This overall, just everybody's on edge. Is it because of the economy? Is it like, I don't know. That's a kind of a scary situation, though. Scary thing right there. You know, I've heard of, you know, people, I actually thought, maybe, I don't know why, but this surprised me seeing the story, because I actually thought road rage incidences were going down. I thought that was like a fad there for a while, where people would get angry at the road, and now people are just like, yeah, whatever. But I guess not. It's getting worse. I know one of the things that surprised me, and I talked to family members in other states, and I explained to them one of the things about, because I ride motorcycle, and most of the time, and I talked to family members about how I really try to be careful and safe here in Florida, in Pensacola, particularly it's bad in Pensacola. If I'm like Milton or another, like a little out of it, I'm not as worried. But Pensacola, man, hit and runs like crazy, even with motorcyclists. And then with pedestrian hit and runs, Pensacola's bad, and we don't even touch like how bad Miami is and some other places around the state. So Florida is the worst state for hit and runs of pedestrians and motorcyclists. And so I didn't think, maybe it's just my naivety, I didn't think it was on purpose and for, you know, like malicious intent. I thought it was more like accidental. And then they just take off like, oh, crap, I think I just clipped somebody. And they just take off. But now when I read this study about Florida ranking second in the nation for fatal road rage incidences, I'm thinking, oh, shoot, maybe it is malicious. And I'm just being naive. So, ooh, that's kind of scary. All right, it's Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Let me continue on. I don't have time. All right, so when we come back here, I do want to talk a little bit about inflation and some AI regulation that's coming up next right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. Pennair Credit Union's high-yield checking, 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking.
Federally insured by NCUA, Pennair's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield on balances up to $10,000 with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
From the efficiency of American natural gas and the dependability of nuclear power to the strength of Florida's sunshine and the flexibility of advanced battery storage systems. At FPL, we leverage a diverse mix of energy sources to power our growing state, ensuring reliable, low-cost power whenever you need it. See how at FPL.com. FPL, working for you every single day.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Nicole Stacy, Vice President of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beaches, festivals, and all things fun. You don't want to miss it.
Pensacola's 4th of July is going to be huge this week.
Thursday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
Morning News with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call or text 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. Federal Reserve is sending mixed signals on inflation. A top official says that prices are still running a little too hot. There's some encouraging signs that things might be finally cooling down, but warns of high inflation, sees signs of relief possibly. Next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about how we have a semi-ceasefire going on in Iran. If that, you know, how much of that is weighing in on inflation or not, we can talk about that as well. But when it comes to inflation, I think more people, I've been talking to people about high cost of living. So we've talked about real estate a little bit earlier, high cost of real estate and how everybody's wanting affordable housing and stuff. But most everybody I talk to is like, they're not even worried about the high cost of living. Like, in other words, not like we got to get the prices to come down. I think nobody really expects real estate prices to truly drop back down to where they were pre-COVID level. I don't think anybody really expects a lot of food prices and things like that to drop, even though it can. I don't think anybody's expecting it. The concern I hear from more people is, how can I make more money to be able to afford the high inflation? That's what I hear from more people. And part of that is a concern pertaining to AI and what it may or may not do as it pertains to their job. Here's something both Democrats and Republicans agree on. A new poll shows voters across the board want tighter rules and regulations on artificial intelligence. With AI changing faster than the government can regulate it, we're trying to, you know, figure out, okay, what can we do here to try to make this, you know, regulate it better for everyone. And, you know, so one of the things I was looking at when it comes to AI and jobs and things like that is there was another poll that shows that a majority of people are concerned about AI taking their job. There was a term for it, and I was trying to look for it right now. They're basically saying that there's like this AI bias, where even if your job is totally fine and totally secure and not threatened by AI at all, people are afraid it could be. So that's one of the things that's been coming up more and more, is people's concern about AI and what it could do, where it might take their job or something like that. Let's see here. There is, let me get out of this here. There's a story pertaining to people working from home. So apparently jobs are coming back a little bit more, but they're mostly remote jobs and jobs where you can work from home and stuff. Jobs where people go to the office are actually still on the decline, which is actually kind of a surprising story to me, because I've talked to a lot of people where they basically said they're not seeing those jobs. They're not seeing jobs go to remote. They're finding that their employer is asking them to go back to work still. I actually just had a conversation with somebody last week where a large company just announced they want anybody who's been remote working, you got to now start coming back to the office again. And they're like totally bummed out, and because they actually moved kind of away from the city, moved out in the countryside a little bit more, because they felt like their job was pretty secure the way it was, that they'd always be working remotely. So they're like, fine, I'm going to get some space, some quiet, you know, get away from people or whatever. And now they've got like a massive, like 45-minute hour commute that they weren't expecting. They never thought it would happen. They thought they were fine. I just talked to somebody else the other day who, you know, we're talking about AI threat or fear, and he told me he's aggressively looking for another job because he's like 98% sure his job's going to go away due to AI in the next year. So he's like, I'm just trying to get ahead of it now. I'm just going to go ahead and do this. And I asked him, I said, well, don't you think you can, you know, talk to your current employer and see what you can do to maybe move into a different position so that you can still work with the same employer? Like, won't they want to try to keep you and retain you? That's, once again, we're talking about naivety. There you go, naivety again, because that's just not how things work nowadays. We as employees, individual employees, are very rarely valued like that. They're like, no, I got AI doing this, and it's not my job to try to figure out how I can place you in a different part of the company. If I can, I can, but I'm not going to try, not going to try to work real hard at that. So that's unfortunate. That's the unfortunate viewpoint of our society now. All right, come up here next. We'll talk a little bit about the Iran situation.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The
U.S. is still planning talks with Iran tomorrow.